Lesson number 12, Into Eternity. This lesson deals with the time when the saints go into eternity. The time when this corruptible puts on incorruption, when this mortal puts on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. And so the emphasis of this verse is that there is a future point. There is a future point of judgment. There is a future point of resurrection. There are some who like to emphasize that the judgment took place at the cross, that we are judged by the gospel, that we enter eternal life when we accept Jesus Christ. Now, all this is true in the mind and purpose of God. But my father accepted the Lord Jesus Christ long ago, and he died long ago. He's waiting the resurrection that is the future. He's not in eternal life now, but in the mind and purpose of God he is. So let's not confuse the mind and purpose of God with the actual. Jesus Christ, in the mind and purpose of God, was slain from the foundation of the world. But in actual practice, he died 1900 years ago. And so the judgment in the mind and purpose of God is going on all the time. But he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the quick and the dead. And after that day, the righteous will go through the resurrection or through the translation, into eternal life. And this is the blessed hope towards which all men, everywhere, in every age, have looked. Part number one, eternal life. When? Now there is a sense in which the believer has eternal life, as Jesus says. This life he has conditionally. It's contingent on his faithfulness to the end. He has the prospect of continuing it unbroken in the hereafter. So he has the conditional eternal life, just as Adam and Eve had conditional eternal life, contingent on their obedience, ending with their disobedience. So now in the new birth, when we accept Jesus Christ, we begin again. And our eternal life that we have is contingent on our continuous living in him, so that when we endure to the end, then we shall be saved. We are born again. When we are born again, we begin this life. We have all the prospect that we need, just as Adam and Eve did at the time of their creation. They and we may lose it. But if we exercise faith, there is no need to lose it. God doesn't will that anyone should perish. In fact, he wills that everyone should see the Son, should believe in the Son, should have the certainty of everlasting life in the Son. He says, I will raise him up in the last day. And so, we have eternal life conditionally and in prospect now, and we shall have eternal life unconditionally and unbrokenly when Jesus returns. Part number two, redemption for the righteous. What does that mean? When the Lord shall descend from heaven, the Lord himself, this same Jesus, he'll come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, that is to say, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is a bodily return of Christ, and a bodily resurrection of the righteous. The same Jesus who went up in bodily form will come down in bodily form, and the same righteous who went into a grave bodily will come out of the grave bodily. This resurrection is called the first resurrection, after which the righteous live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now Jesus says, I will return and take you to myself. Never in the Bible that he says, I will return and be with you. He is going to take us to be with him, John 14, in the Father's house. Revelation says, to live and reign with him 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. With Christ in heaven, in the Father's house, living and reigning. Part number three, what will they do during this 1,000 years? What will be their employment? Well, now, one of the items is that they will judge. Judgment was given to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. They will judge angels. They will audit the angelic records. The way I think of it is, what if on the resurrection morning, when I look around for Christ, for my mother, I fail to see her? I realize she hasn't made it. I will want to know what the records state concerning her. On what basis was she excluded? That's part of the function. That every man might discern that God's ways are just and right. So during the millennium, judgment will be given unto them. And they will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy as he that has a part in the first resurrection. The second death is powerless over him. Now at the end of the millennium, part number 4, the second resurrection takes place at the third advent of Christ. The sinners are resurrected. And as I used my mother as an illustration in the previous section, I'll use her again. I am in the city, and I look out over the walls of the city, and I see my mother outside. And tears run down my face. I wonder what she will do. And then I see her with the saint, with the wicked, come to storm the New Jerusalem, the camp of the saints, to destroy God's people. And then I know that nothing else but the destruction of the wicked, including my mother, is possible. That if the heavens are to be maintained and the purposes of God are to be maintained, the wicked must be removed. And so with all this picture of careful scrutiny and careful judgment, the Bible pictures the whole universe falling down and saying, "Just and holy are thy ways, thou King of saints." So the two resurrections, the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked, are separated by 1,000 years. Satan is allowed to do with this planet what he will, and the saints are auditing the books of judgment, so that when the wicked are destroyed and Satan is removed, and a new heavens and a new earth are created, that there will be no question in the mind of any being in the universe but that the ways of God are true. Part number 5, God's mercy in justice. It is because God is merciful that we are not consumed. It is because that God is compassionate, that he renews his love every morning, that we do not perish. James mentions that temptation urges man to sin, that human lust is wedded to temptation and conceives and brings forth sin, and that when sin reaches its consummation, death is the result. But in God's mercy, man need not die. He can live forever if he trusts, and God's mercy are renewed every morning. Part number 6. New bodies. How are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? They come with a celestial body, with a spiritual body, with a heavenly body, with a recreated body. And you will recollect that Paul's response in Hebrews 15:36 begins with, "Thou fool." Actually, to ask what sort of a body we come up with is a kind of foolish question. And in the Bible, foolish questions leave God out of the thinking. If God can resurrect, God can give the right kind of body. And so the thrust of this lesson is, since Jesus has been raised, let's trust that he can do for us what is best. He has invested His life in us, and He will not disappoint in the hereafter.